Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We are back here on the morning shift in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. It is time for the wake-up call. You can call us at 404-726-0929, and we've been playing clips throughout the show of new Falcons defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich's introductory press conference, which went down yesterday. He also joined our midday show with Andy and Randy. He talked about the scheme. He talked about being able to come back home here to Atlanta, and it's a place where his family has loved and thrived as well, and just kind of his expectations on what this defense is going to look like.
Yeah, he also talked to add to what you're saying about the relationship with Raheem and how it's true. He wants to surround himself with truth seekers and truth tellers. And, you know, I always went back and I've thought about some of the very close friendships I've had in this industry, because I think it's important talking professionally. And one of my closest relationships in this industry is with Dave Archer. And I think you guys see how he treats me.
We hear it, yes.
No, he's my boy. But he, you know, we have fun. We go at each other. But whenever I have needed some advice, like, hey, I need feedback, and this is what happened, tell me how I handled the situation and what I could do better, right? And to me, that's what a real friend is. And so there, when there's a lot of people saying, well, it's comfortable and it's easy, I think I would question some relationships you have if that's how you feel about bringing in a close friend. Because to me, the closest of friends you have in the world and in your professions are the ones that are going to be the bluntest, the almost more critical, harshest people to give feedback to. And that is what, to me, you need to grow and to get better. And as you improve in your journey professionally, and that is what I would look at with this, with Ulbrich and Raheem, based on some of the comments. I don't think that I'm not saying that it wasn't comfortable, because you know what you're getting. I get that aspect of it. But when it comes to not telling you what you want to hear kind of stuff, I don't see that from close friends that I have in my industry or in my actual life. And to me, that's important.
No, you're exactly right. And that relationship being a big part of also the open door kind of policy when it comes to just being able to collaborate on this defense and on the scheme and what they plan to do. That was something that Ulbrich talked about. So you can expect this to be a lot of collaboration between him and this staff with how they're going to play out things on defense. We want to hear from you. If you're comfortable with everything you've heard today from Jeff Ulbrich, you can call us at 404-726-0929. This is the wake-up call.
Or if you're not, call too.
Or if you're not, you can call too.
Let's argue.
I know you're good at that. So we'll go to the lines now. We have Paratrooper Dan.
I know
joining
Dan.
Us. Good morning, Dan.
How are you? Squid Billy knows me, and he's been a great guy over the years. And I just want to congratulate you guys because I think I was listening to your first show, and the three of you are incredible. And obviously, Mike isn't here today to kind of put you in your place a little bit, and I just mean that very funnily. That's not really a good word. But, yeah, I'm a Jets guy, and Aaron Glenn is going to take that team to the next level. He was the most incredible guy that he would tackle. He wasn't afraid to do anything. He could blitz. He could cover. And I think that team's going to go to the next level. And, Tiffany, go to that. But don't bring somebody that you're not comfortable with.
Yes.
Because, I mean, everybody's been in that situation where you bring somebody and say, hey, I just kind of need somebody to hang out. We're not really a date. And all of a sudden, people come up and go, so how long you two been together? You're like, okay, let's just go by yourself and be okay with it. And I think you guys are doing an awesome job, and I enjoy the show. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you so much for the call. We really do appreciate that, and thanks for listening.
And I think Dan was spot on with everything he said about me. And no, I'm just kidding. And no, I just very kind of Dan. I've known Dan for a while, even when I was producing. He's been a guy that showed up to a lot of our events, and appreciate him. Look, the optimism on Aaron Glenn, I have too.
Yeah, same.
But here's what I do know. We're the freaking New York Jets, so we're built for this.
Ben Johnson got a lot of the flowers because offense, 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 and the young – well, excuse me, let me start that over. The hiring these days have been young offensive minds, Tiff, that have seemed to take off, and they've done it quickly. But let's not forget, D'Amico Ryans was a young defensive mind, and last time I checked, he's had two seasons and I think playoff wins in each year. So don't underestimate how good he's been. Young defensive minds do it well as well. And Aaron Glenn's a little bit older than D'Amico. Well, not a little bit, but quite a few years older.
Let me pull up his age.
I think he's about 10 years older than D'Amico Ryans.
Aaron
Glenn. I think.
Glenn
so I think
age.
Glenn was drafted in.
He's 52.
Okay, and D'Amico. Yeah, he's.
So D'Amico's like. I think D'Amico's my age.
Oh, he's younger.
Or he's younger than me. He's, you know.
I wanted to say that so badly. And you just walked right into it. D'Amico.
D'Amico's 40. Yeah, 41 this year.
Oh, he's just told. Yeah.
Yeah, not until July. All right, that's not age.
He's basically my age.
Yeah. Hey, we got another call.
See, you know, this youth movement's crazy. So anyway, let's go back to the Lions. We got Lenny. Good morning, Lenny.
Good morning. I just want to say, Jeff Ulbrich, great pickup. I got a lot of hope for the Falcons next year, but we know how that goes. here we go. Maybe Jeff Ulbrich's the guy. I got a lot of faith in that. He's back home. Now let's get an edge rusher, like maybe Abdul Carter, maybe Jalen Walker. Let's make something happen.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Lenny. I love both the guys you just mentioned. They won't be there. I think you would have to move up. Abdul Carter, depending on how teams like Tennessee and they're in the top five do their analysis on what they need and what they think of the players, I think Abdul Carter it could very well be one or two. You could see Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter go one and two in some worlds. Guys, Jalen Walker, I think he's probably 7 to 10. Phenomenal player. If he was there at 15, I'd run. I would be the guy running up there to get him. There's a couple other guys though that Mike and I have been watching. Nick Scorton is the guy from A&M. You know, Shamar
he came up a few yesterday, or oh wait, I guess not a few days ago. Yesterday,
yeah. And Shamar Stewart's the guy that kind of gets the notoriety there in Mel Kiper's mock draft. There's another guy named Mike Green from Marshall. I had not watched Mike Green yet, but I had a couple people, including our boy Mr. Yo, hit me up about him. I watched him this morning, And look, I'm not an expert. I'm not Arch. I'm not Mike. But I've listened to those guys, and like Jeff Van Notes of the world, and Randy Cross teach me football. He's got a good first step. He's pretty good swim move. He's very good at shedding blocks to make tackles. Tight end, you can't block him with a tight end. In college, they couldn't block him with a tight end. Some of the film I watched was against Ohio State and Virginia Tech, where he was very good. And, you know, if you're an offensive lineman, this is a Mike thing. He's the kind of guy that you have to have quick hands and punch quickly, because if you let him get in on you, mm-hmm. he can kind of fight your hands off, and his speed goes right around you. So he was the guy.
The now, bend. That's what you're looking at. Yeah,
yeah, those flexible hips.
Yes. All right, back to the Lions. We got David incoming. Good morning, David.
Guys, how's it going today? Listen, hey, Tiff, little bit of advice for you. Sounds like the guys are willing to help. So record your intro date, whatever, right, where you're actually talking to them on Zoom, and let the guys see the video. They can rank 1 to 3, right? And here's the deal. They're guys. They know. We're not going to talk about why they know, but they know. And then also you need to recruit at least one of your married friends, because to some extent, more than likely, she seems like she's a pretty good gauge of somewhat type character. Take the score 1 to 3, let all of them rank 1 to 3, average the numbers. Whoever's the highest is out. And then amongst the other two you want to talk to, and if any of the three really have a problem with what we just said as the, quote, process, end quote, you don't want him anyway, because he's got some other expectations outside of, hey, this is a good opportunity to meet somebody.
I like the plan. I like the game plan.
I mean, look, that's about as solid advice as you can get from David right there.
I'm still on the fence if I'm going to go through with this, right? It's like, but why not? But
it's the off-season. Why not?
It's the off-season anything. Yeah, my off-seasons are usually pretty boring.
But you haven't started basketball, right?
Not yet.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
Not until the end of February for me. So.
Yeah, why not?
You know, my off-season, you know, it's always a...
Tiff, speaking of basketball, yes, real yes. quick. It's always been my... This is very random, by the way.
Okay.
It's always been one of my dreams to, like, go out there and, like, be able to shoot the half-court shot. Could you pull some strings and line that up for me?
That's a dream?
That's more
Yeah,
of a...
because I always see the people shoot them, and I'm like, I can make that.
Well, you know, it may be conflict of interest in some way, if that's the right terminology to use, but this is the flagship station of the Atlanta Hawks.
I could text Steve Koonin.
You know, or I don't have that power with because not all college basketball games are doing that.
That's true.
So I don't really, you know.
College game days where you really want to do it, but you're not a college student anymore, so you don't like.
That's true.
I got some connections there, but now it sounds, you know,
but can I,
rigged-ish.
Can I say one thing? and this is going to sound off like I'm really just taking a shot.
It's all right.
But you got to remember, you're not just shooting the half court. You're shooting the half court in front of a bigger crowd than you're normally at.
I'm clutch.
There's a hype man. There's a hype man.
You do have to go to break.
And when you've been put in game-winning situations in the past where you needed to be clutch, you miss free throws.
I'm kind of one for one now. I've redeemed myself a little bit on
okay.
that free throw aspect.
All right, so you're getting better.
Yeah, I'm getting better.
All right.
The progression's there. So I feel I feel like now is my time.
Look, we're going to break. You can marinate on trying to hit a half-court shot. And it probably won't even happen in your dreams. But still, hey, who knows? All right, when we come back here on the morning shift, let's get back to Jeff Ulbrich. We heard from some of the callers some optimism about what they think he'll be able to produce with the defense this year. We'll hear from Ulbrich next on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Inspector Gadget. Okay. I know it's a remix, but that's, do you know who Inspector Gadget is?
Do I?
He doesn't.
I'm sorry. I
know
you're the resident youth of the show.
I didn't hear
show,
what you said.
So, okay.
Yeah.
But
okay.
He doesn't know the Inspector Gadget that you know.
I know the animated Inspector Gadget, too.
The old, wait.
I don't, but I think, didn't they redo them? They're like, or,
they
that's
might
why
have.
He said
they
two. Did you say two as an Inspector Gadget two?
Like, oh, no. I as well. Okay. Yeah. But I saw the real, what do they call, live action ones. And then I've seen a little bit of the animated ones. But I'll say this. I was introduced to Inspector Gadget from the live-action movies.
Okay. We should do like a quiz on, I don't know, maybe we'll do that one day next week.
I feel like I would do fairly well.
Because there are things that we discuss that we know that we weren't alive for, but we know it because either we saw it or somehow through pop culture or whatever, we know it. But there are a lot of things that I'm not sure if you know or not. So it'd be good to test. To see.
Like, this randomly came to my head when we're talking about, like, I guess TV shows and, like, maybe cartoons. I guess you can put what I'm about to say in the category of cartoons, like Goosebumps.
Yeah,
like,
I remember Goosebumps. So you saw.
Yeah, I was up for Goosebumps. They've made, like, spinoff movies, and I think they're about to come out with a TV show, but, like, the OG Goosebumps I had on VHS.
Disney's got a TV show. It's a Goosebumps show, and David Schwimmer is going to be a part of it.
Interesting.
And there's something in his basement. He's like, you can't go in the basement. And that's the preview I saw anyways.
Like, my favorite Goosebumps was the one with the little girl. And she found that mask. And the mask, like, turned her evil.
I think I remember this one.
She ate, like, the worm sandwich. That was disgusting.
Do you remember Ernest T. Bass? Like, Ernest Scared Stupid and Ernest Goes to Jail? You remember those movies? Jim Varney was the...
Yeah.
I don't think so. Yeah. Maybe if I've seen it and just didn't know that was the name of it, but it doesn't ring a bell.
Do you guys remember the story about I forgot the exact book name, but the girl with the green scarf or the scarf tied around her neck?
Uh-uh.
It's really creepy. It's like a children's book.
I remember the one with the hat.
Okay, this woman, whatever, had a scarf tied around her neck. And I think throughout the whole little short story, you're just wondering why is this scarf around her neck? And at the end, they like, pull the scarf, her head rolls off, basically. So, anyway.
Oh, you know what? I think I do remember that.
The green scarf or something like that. I got to look it up again.
That sounds familiar now.
But, you know.
Are you sure it's a, is it?
It's a scarf. It's a.
But are you sure it's a kid, like a kid book? Or
yeah,
like,
it's I mean, I read it. We had it in my probably library or something.
It was the girl with the green ribbon.
Green ribbon. Thank you. I call it a scarf. The girl with the green ribbon. If you pull it up, you can see like the.
It was spooky. It was spooky. I remember reading it when I was a kid.
Yeah, and you're a kid.
Very spooky.
It's like a kid rite of passage.
I remember the movie, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Okay,
that is not for kids. That one is not for kids.
No, do not watch that.
Not for kids.
That's a hard left that you're taking.
That's actually a good movie, but it is.
Well, let's keep turning. Yeah. Left, so let's go back to the Falcons.
I think they could have had more than an R rating. I'm just saying.
Jeff Ulbrich, the new defensive coordinator, he had his introductory press conference yesterday. A lot of NFL introductory press conferences were going down yesterday. So one of the things that he talked about was having the ability to pivot the plan of what they're going to do on defense on game day.
The ability to, like I said, to pivot on game day, it's the difference between good defenses and great defenses, you know, and that ability to pivot is bigger than just a coach knowing a schematic answer. It's like you said, it's the ability to teach it and coach it and them to really understand why we're pivoting here, you know, and you know, how are we being attacked and then what's our answer to that? I think that good coaches, they provide players answers, you know, and that's what we got to do.
So I hear that, and I just think about kind of what happened here this year with Jimmy Lake, and not, again, trying to rehash or bash or, you know, just kind of pile jump on Jimmy Lake. But we saw what teams were doing to our defenses, and it never felt like we adjusted. And I'm not talking about in-game, because we're going to hear another cut here in a second from Ulbrich about in-game stuff and on game days. And but that right there to me is like, okay, if we have a couple of games where we've been figured out and we're being exploited, we have to find an answer. We just cannot stay status quo. And I think a lot of people may be watching it, but especially me watching this team this year, it just came back to, okay, we've seen three or four teams pick us apart in the short passing game because we're playing so far off. It's not allowing our defense to get home. It's keeping teams in third and short. And now we are just basically giving up long drives with and forfeiting time of possession that AR offense can't be on the field, but and shortening possessions that we have in order to score. But also, we're wearing our own defense out with this style of play. This is so contradictory to anything that wins, but we are not changing it. And then the final straw was when Denver used in the red area the fact that you're playing off of guys and they threw screen pass. I think they had like three touchdowns on screen plays in the red zone because you're so far off and they were able to get out and create you know, this wall and you walk in the end zone. And that was something I saw, and it sounds like he heard that in either the process or maybe talking to people around the building, or maybe he's watched more film than he says he has so far on the Falcons.
And then one of the other important things, too, Ulbrich talked about was just how an offense, how everything's changed, right, over the course of the years in the NFL. There's different things that offenses are throwing at you now, and you talked about it, too, Bo, with more speed, just more playmakers, it seems like, that guys are able to do different things. And so your defense has to be able to adjust to that. And that's what Ulbrich discussed.
There's going to be some stuff that we really adapt because we got some players with some superpowers we got to take advantage of. And in that way, we'll feature them as best we can with the, you know, just like for the front example. But at the same time, the multiplicity is there to create. This is what I don't know if our first run here, if we always had that, a schematic answer when things got sideways on game day, and the ability to pivot when an offense pivots. So the multiplicity, it's powerful in that way that you got answers. You know, to just say, we got to play harder and faster and more physical, that's one way to approach things. You know, or you create real schematic answers to problems. Obviously, as you game plan, but even more powerful sometimes is the pivot on game day that you have the ability to do when you do have multiplicity to your fronts and coverages.
Okay.
You look excited. You have Liam Cohen eyes right now.
Well, yeah. Duval.
No, I'm just no. kidding. Just kidding.
Duval.
So, I'm not saying he just took a shot at the head coach and the guy that ran the defense the last time he was here. I'm not. However, as someone that was very close to the team then and now, I heard what he just said, and my first thought was, damn, why are you going to do Dan like that? Because this team, under Dan Quinn, would get out to super fast starts, Super Bowl 51. Teams would adjust after halftime, and then, or through the game, I think through the game is a better thing because I think there is a little bit of a fake sense of what halftime adjustments really are. But they would change, and then we never seem to have answers. And I don't know if that was a Dan Quinn thing. I don't know what that was. But he mentioned that, and he said, the way he said it, he used a slogan that Dan used to use. Our defense needs to play fast and physical. And we've got to play hard. And he said that as, you know, we got to do more than just say, let's play fast, physical, and hard. Ulbrich's not the kind of guy to take shots. I think, in my mind, he was just saying, you think that's what I am. And that is is that I'm what was here for the 6 years you know, from 15 to 20. But I'm not that guy. And so I think that was a major slogan he knew that he had heard, and you hear feedback. So that was a point of importance for him to make that statement that we are going to make actual adjustments in our scheme during games and not just tell the guys to go play harder and do their job better and don't play out of control. He says, no, we're going to adjust to what we see from the offense. And that is huge because that to me is someone that says, okay, you've heard one of my complaints about you being back here. What are you going to do? And he's saying that they are going to do schematic changes whenever needed, even in the middle of games. And that made me feel a lot better because it felt like recognition of a problem and recognition of something that the fans have even recognized, and how and you telling me without giving away any, you know, nuclear codes or big time secrets, how you're that you are going to address it because you recognize it as well.
Boom. All right, when we come back here on the morning shift, we do have a Life of Squid to get to.
We do. Jimmy Butler in the news again. Why this time? And my teammate has some funny stuff on this that she found online from another teammate of Jimmy Butler. We'll talk about all of that next. Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and...
Oh, I get to say it today, the Odyssey app.
Thank you, Tiff.
Rolling along here on the morning shift, and the Falcons have another name they can add to their Pro Bowl list with Chris Lindstrom already going, Kadarius Hodge going, and now Bijan Robinson gets to go, and that's because the Eagles are headed to the Super Bowl, and he was the first player voted as one of the alternates for Saquon Barkley and a number of other NFC running backs. So he, will add to the list for the Falcons.
Yeah, I know it's... I'm going to read his numbers, and then people will be like, yeah, but Saquon had that rushing alone, and Derrick Henry had that rushing along and more. And it's true, but in an offense that was so pass-heavy the way the Falcons were at times, the fact that Bijan Robinson had just at 1,900 all-purpose yards, 15 touchdowns, it is incredible. He was one of the best running backs in the NFL this year, and he was top five easily. You know, I know that James Cook, I'm a big James Cook fan. I think James Cook is better right now than at any point he was ever at Georgia, which is crazy because, and there's some players that do that, right? But you think about a run-heavy team in Georgia, and even when Cook was there, it was still more, I think it was a lot more balanced than it was the last couple of years for sure. You wouldn't think that he goes to a team in Buffalo with Josh Allen at the helm, and then he all of a sudden becomes this dominant player. But Arch told you yesterday that was one of the best runs he's ever seen at the goal line that James Cook had. And I kept hearing Tony Romo mention James Cook.
Effort was unreal. I remember just watching it. It was impressive in real time. And then when you see the slow-mo and watch how his body's being hit midair and he's still stretching out to get that ball across the goal line, was incredible.
Yeah, that second hit was one to me that he still had the presence and the body control to...
The wherewithal, yeah.
To kind of, you know, put the ball out there and stay off the ground. But I heard Romo say multiple times, well, James Cook's probably the third best running back. He's right there with Saquon and Derrick Henry. And it's great. He doesn't get to see Bijan Robinson a lot. He probably, if he's watching him on TV, he gets to see him, you know. Bijan Robinson is above James Cook in my book. Everything I've watched James Cook play, Bijan Robinson is phenomenal. He deserved this Pro Bowl thing. You know, I hate the Pro Bowl because...
You wish he could have been voted in anyway and not be kind of an alternate.
But. Yeah, and everybody's an alternate, and it's just, it's so much fan voting. So how many games, how popular a team is, how many games you're on national TV, all goes into account. I hate all that about it. To me, All-Pro is more of a thing, but he was never going to be a first or second team All-Pro because you had Derrick Henry and you had Saquon Barkley.
Let me ask y'all a question about Bijan. And it's going to sound far-fetched and it's probably unrealistic, but could Bijan end up being one of those players that you want to sign sooner rather than later? I know most of the time the rule of thumb is you want to let those contracts play out, but could he be a guy where you get to year four, midway through four, Bijan, or maybe even midway through year three, like this upcoming year, and then you want to try and sign him to maybe where you can get him on a little bit cheaper of a deal? Is that something that you think could be the mindset of Terry Fontenot or no?
Remember, it's not the Braves. And so you don't see guys in the NFL, especially at a position where they have a limited amount of time to, you know, make that money, do that. I do think he's a type of player, if he believes and loves the group around him, he would probably take a little bit less. I would tend to think maybe – so after next season, you have to pick up his fifth-year option.
Right.
So I would tend to think you might do it around that time, and it could – but remember, that also comes around what the cap looks like.
Yeah.
Okay, what does my cap situation look like? You know, it doesn't feel like Kyle Pitts is going to be a guy that re-signs here after this season. So he won't. And if he does, he's not going to get the a big contract of what you think he might get after that. Drake London is coming up before him, and that's a guy that I think he's pretty much proven himself after, you know, the a 1,200 almost 1,300 yard receiving year with 9 touchdowns where he went. He had 6 touchdowns in 2 seasons. Goes and has 9 this year. Quarterback play was better. He was better. He had a couple, I think 2 or 3 games where he had 150-plus yards. So I don't know if you want to do it yet. Drake might be that first. But there's going to be a little bit of money freed up, I believe, after this season because Kirk comes off the books and you haven't done Penix. You also got to worry about Penix. So how's the draft go? I think, yes, it's a good question. It's a great thought. I'm going to pull a Tiff. Let's wait and see on that one a little bit to figure out what else we have working, you know?
It's always the right approach. Something that might be of interest to you real quick. I was looking at Greg Allman, his Twitter account, and he covers the NFL for Fox Sports. He said that the Bucs have already doing interviews for the OC position. And so far, it's been Marcus Brady, Nick Kelly, Nate Steelhouse, and Grant Udinski so far. Those guys are still under contract with other NFL teams, but those are some of the guys that are of interest when it comes to trying to fill Liam Cohen's position, which was the OC of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah,
wasted
no time. You said Nick Kaylee, one of those guys, he's a Rams assistant. So that, to me... You know, here's the deal. He's been their tight ends coach in L.A. and their pass game coordinator. Probably something similar to what Liam Cohen was as far as I think he might have been the pass game coordinator there. Because these guys in L.A., you're running McVay's system and he's calling plays. But the goal is to learn. And how many guys have went out there and learned from him? Zach Robinson. Very sound. And maybe Zach Robinson was a pass game coordinator there in L.A.
Regardless,
those guys were in that system. They were in the meeting rooms with Sean McVay, who, you know, gets a lot of love for his offensive genius. And he is. He's a very good offensive coach. But that makes sense to me because it's another guy that's familiar with a system where they just ran. And also, you got to look at it in that Baker Mayfield is clearly comfortable in that. And Liam Cohen was able to unlock the run game in Tampa Bay. And I think that's something you want to kind of keep going in Tampa Bay, especially with guys like Bucky
Irving
and Rashad White.
Yes.
Mainly Bucky freaking Irving, because that guy, you know, we talked about Saquon, James Cook, Derrick Henry, Bijan, Jahmyr Gibbs, as Garrett pointed out in my ear. Bucky Irving will be mentioned next year in that light, most
absolutely.
Likely, if they do a good job of replacing what they got. You want to talk about Jimmy Butler?
Let's talk about Jimmy Butler.
That's right. Mike's not here, so I'll say a little bit of Baron Burton's W Sauce Tiff and a little
kids
bit
get
of
to have fun. So I'm just kidding.
Baron Burton's Fireshire and the Mary Mix, which is a Baron Burton's Bloody Mary Mix. And don't forget, Baron Burton still has their breakfast and breakfast sauce too out. I'm going to be driving some recipes here and there for you guys that my friends at Baron Burton's have shared with me, and I'm going to try some of them myself too. So be looking for that coming soon on Instagram and the Twitters. I mean, also, my friends at New Realm Brewing, the Owl Inn Lager, the official beer of Kennesaw State Athletics. So Jimmy Butler, I've always liked Jimmy Butler. He's always been one of my favorite players.
Same.
I'm going to go against him a little bit here.
Okay.
And
It's your segment. You're allowed to do that.
But because I don't agree wholeheartedly with everything that's going down. But I also agree with some of it. But he has been suspended again for the third time.
Indefinitely this time around.
And yes. Jimmy Butler got suspended again.
Were the last ones they weren't indefinitely, right? They were just for
the first one was.
Okay.
The second one I think they might have listed. The third one, to your point, has been indefinitely. I believe it was might have been Shams that tweeted out that it would be a minimum. And I'm saying Shams Charania, yeah. Who's ESPN insider. He said it would be a minimum of, I know it was Ira Winderman, who's the Sun Sentinel, a longtime reporter. Ira is a character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he is.
But he said it would be a minimum of 5 games. So that part is interesting to me, that it's at least 5 games. And I think that maybe they're trying to extend this out to try to get a deal done for him.
Yeah.
I was listening to Shaq and Charles. Shaq go against Charles and Kenny on Inside the NBA about this. And he said, Chuck said, I don't care. You're mad mainly because you wanted them to extend you. You need to be on the court. You're making $50 million a year. Go play basketball. People working real jobs don't resonate to players pitching hissy fits about their playing time over when they have $100 million guarantee for the next 2 seasons, this season and next season, $50 a year. I tend to agree with that.
No, I mean, I don't disagree with that. Yeah, the part about people not resonating with it, yeah, totally understandable from that standpoint.
But, you know,
I guess if you don't want to be somewhere, it's...
Well, the quickest way to get out of somewhere, right, is to be nice and try to treat it. Try to be like, you know what? I don't blame everyone here, although he might, and we're just going to get, I'm going to get this in a second, he might be mad at someone now, but... I think the best way to leave somewhere is to kind of be cool and kind of be like.
Yeah, he could have said, I don't want to be here, but I'm going to finish out, you know, what we started.
Yeah, but he's not doing that. And he's being a problem going out, which to me, there's a difference in taking care of you and then taking care of you to the point where you basically tell your teammates that you don't care about them. You don't, that all you care about is you, and that's never been who Jimmy Butler is from what I've seen on the outside, but that is who he's being right now in this thing, and I think that might be why some of the guys in the league and stuff are having fun with it.
They are having fun with it. I think he's okay with Kevin Love. I thought maybe there was a comment underneath a post. So Kevin Love's been having a ton of fun with this. If you follow him on Instagram.
Who is with the Heat, I should say, these days. So if you didn't know, because I didn't know. I had to double check.
He's with the Heat. And every so often, whenever a new blow up happens, he's got an Instagram clip that fits exactly what's going on. So for the latest one, which we cannot play on our airwaves,
none of them we can play on our air because he's using some great movies with some language.
Lots of language was the training day scene where Denzel is basically talking to
King Kong ain't got ish on me. He's like, y'all be playing basketball in Pelican Bay when I get done with you.
So you think you can do it to me?
When I saw that, when he posted it yesterday, I lost it because everything has been so spot on. And I think I'll have to go look. I thought Jimmy Butler may have, commented under something, maybe I'm wrong.
There's another one, Tiff, that it was. I think this was before the third suspension. I think this was right around the second one. He tweets, if you guys are familiar, is anybody behind the glass seen the movie Casino?
I have not.
Garrett has, so Garrett can chime in if he wants to. But there's a scene in Casino where Nicky Santoro, who is Joe Pesci, and Joe Pesci and Robert De Niro's characters are really good friends. And Robert De Niro kind of talks a little bit behind his back, saying, you know, he's messing stuff up because that character was very aggressive. And so they meet in the desert. And in Vegas, the desert's where you bury people. And so he shows up, who do you think you are talking about me behind my back? And Robert De Niro's like, I didn't talk to anybody. And the caption that Kevin Love posted on his Instagram video was like, when Jimmy Butler comes back and sees me. And it is phenomenal. It's just so well done.
The whole thing has been kind of funny. I'm trying to find it here. But it looks like, Love has been, or actually not Love, but Butler has been kind of making his own posts in light of what's going on. So he posted himself as Tommy from Martin, And if y'all know, like, Tommy ain't got no job, that whole thing, right? So,
I love
so
Tommy.
That is what Jimmy Butler had posted yesterday. So, this whole thing is, but you know, if you're not happy somewhere, I think there's one thing to like, despite what's going on internally, I think on the outside, if people think you're happy, then it's fine. I'm not saying he excuses any of his behavior or anything like that internally, but if it's not leaking out, then you're good. But now it's like all eyes are on like the Heat because everything is out there. And Jimmy also making it known in some of the press conferences a while back before he started getting, I guess, or he did get fined, I think. He wasn't allowed to talk about
his
being disgruntled there.
Yeah, I just, I understand wanting your extension, but you are making $50 million, and that's money that they can't bring other guys to that team, and that's hurting the team, the players on that court more than anything.
That's going to do it for us here on The Morning Shift. Steakhouse next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.